Today, I officiated a funeral for a person, a doctor who moved from South Africa to the United States. This Jew was a gynecologist, and he told me that over his lifetime, over his career, he delivered more than 2,000 babies. Not bad, huh? The family told a story, an interesting story, that before he got married, he was already a doctor. He went for a trip to America. From South Africa, he came to the United States to New York. Somehow he met doctors in New York from an important hospital. I didn't get exactly the details. And the doctor there offered them, told them, "You're such a good doctor. I'm so impressed with you. I offer you a job. Start right now." He was not married. He was dating his wife. He was not married yet. And he told him, sir, and his friends who came with him told him, "You cannot pass such an opportunity in America, you know, for South Africa, in America, in New York City. And this is such an important hospital. They give you such a job." He was a genius. He was a very smart man. So he decided, no, he's going to call. They don't call you your girlfriend or your date. Call your date, basically, and tell her to come to America and get married in America. Fine. He decided he's doing it. His wife at that time was living with your parents. That was the style in South Africa, not like in America, everybody is living in. She was young. He tried to call to South Africa in these years, in the 70s, probably, maybe more. He had to call the operator and make a conference call, you know, the connection. Finally, he made it. He was able to get through to your parents' house. Your sister picks up the phone. She says, "Who is it?" He says, "It's Dennis. Is Ellen home?" Says, "No, she went to school. She's teaching the kids in school. Tell her I need to talk to her because I got a very good offer in New York for being a doctor. It's a great job. And I want to do it. I want her to come to America and to get married in America." She told him, "Dennis, if you want to marry my sister, you better come back to South Africa." And that was the end of the conversation. And he came back like a good boy to South Africa, and everything there was different. You know, this is the story of this week in the parsha of this week. The story is about Mount Sinai. God gave the Ten Commandments. The relationship between God and the Jewish people is compared to husband to a bride and a groom. When God wanted to marry the Jewish people, he looked for a shadchan, a matchmaker to do the shidduch. Who was the matchmaker? Moses. He met Moses at the burning bush. You know, the burning bush was the same mountain that later was Mount Sinai. The burning bush, the bush is called Sneh in Hebrew, the bush. Then it became Sinai because of the snare. Understand? The same word almost. And Moses is seeing a burning bush and it doesn't consume on the same mountain. You see, the burning bush was a smaller version of Mount Sinai experience. Was the micro and the micro? The smaller is the micro or the micro?
Micro.
Micro. That was the, and then it was the bigger picture, the bigger event at Mount Sinai. As it's getting closer to the burning bush, God told them, "Don't go close. Take off your shoes. It's holy ground." The same word that God told Moses to tell the Jewish people before Mount Sinai, "Don't get too close. It's holy ground." Then God told them, and then comes the most important thing. God tells them, "Anochi Elokei Avicha, I am your God, the God of your father." But use the word Anochi, the same word that is using in the beginning of Ten Commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. It's not the regular expression Ani, it's Anochi. It's more considered they said it's an Egyptian language. It's a whole thing about it, but use the same word, the same word. What do you want from him? Tells him, "I want you to go to speak to my bride that I want to marry him. I know the bride is in Egypt, the Jewish people in Egypt." Moses doesn't want to go. He says, "If I go to the bride, they'll ask me, what's the name of the groom? What am I to tell them?" The question wasn't just the name. Where was God until now? That was the question.
Right.
And so now he wants to marry us. Where was he until now? God begs them, tells them, "Go. I'm telling you, they will accept it." After 7 days of arguing with God, Moses was finally forced to go to offer the shidduch, to offer the idea of the marriage to the bride. He comes to the Jewish people, gathers the elders of Israel, and they're actually very excited. They took it. And then started the whole saga of the Exodus from Egypt that we read in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And God took the Jews out of Egypt, and then with the 10th plague, and then he split the sea, and then he gave them manna, and gave them water from the rock, the whole thing. And now comes the time he has to marry them. Oh, to marry them. For your marriage, you have to come back to South Africa if you want to marry her. God had to come down on Mount Sinai. You see, until then, it was a separation between heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is a verse that King David says, Ashamayim, Shamayim LaHashem. The heavens are for God. The earth is for human beings. There is a separation. These people don't come here. These people don't come here. It was a segregation between God and the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
What then? Here, God. This is the first time that God has, if he wants to marry the Jews, he has to get together with them. You cannot get married from far on Zoom. You have to get married in real. Yeah, you can do it maybe with a judge on Zoom, but the bride and the groom, if they want to create
right.
a child, they have to be together. God came down on Mount Sinai and Shavuos, and he married the Jewish people. There is a story once, a Hasidic rabbi, somebody came and offered the Mashiach to his son. He says, my son to your daughter, something like this. Personally, why do you need a Shadchan? He told him, I'm not comfortable to do a Shidduch without a Shadchan. He said, why not? He says, because, you know, it's written in the Midrash that God, before he went to the Jewish people, he offered the Torah to other nations.
Mm-hmm.
He offered to the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. He asked him, what's written there? He said, don't kill, don't murder. He said, don't murder for us. Our grandfather Esau, his blessing was you should live on your soul. What do you mean don't murder? That's his business. He went to the families from Ammonite and the Moabite. Said they asked what is written? He says, do not commit adultery. He said, well, really? We are descendants of Lot and his daughters. You're telling me don't commit adultery? That's who we are. He came to the children of Ishmael. Says, what's written? He said, it's written, do not steal money, do not steal. Said, do not steal. We are robbers by profession. Again, Ishmael was a robber. That was his life. Basically, he said it didn't work. But when he came to offer to the Jewish people, he didn't do it himself. He did it to the matchmaker, to Moses, to the Shadchan. Mm-hmm. Says, and we need a Shadchan. Then comes the big question. You know, we pay money to our matchmaker. Somebody is doing for you a shidduch. It's a Jewish tradition to pay money.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, better pay, because if not, the Shadchan will not talk to you next time.
Right.
You're in big trouble. But also, the Rebbe, when there were problems in a marriage, couldn't have children, or just problem in Shalom Bayit and between the husband and wife, the Rebbe is to ask many times, the Rebbe is to ask the question, did you pay the matchmaker? If
yeah.
not, go and pay. I pay all, everybody who is involved in a shidduch, you pay. Absolutely. I mean, a cheap payment is $1,000. More expensive, you know, depends how difficult the story is. what were the cases? Now, the question is, when you pay? Now they pay, right as the couple gets engaged, the shadchan comes and he demands his money. It doesn't make a difference until they eventually get married or not. 99% they get married, but sometimes it breaks off. I did the job, give me money, I don't care what they'll do later. In the olden days, it wasn't like this. Yet, if they get married, then we pay. And the story, and this we all cannot learn from Mount Sinai. There is in Mount Sinai, there is two interesting things. There's two commentaries, two explanations. What was that God paid Moses for the job, for the matchmaking? One explanation is, you know, right by when Moses came down with the second set of tablets, after the golden calf, after he went back to God on Mount Sinai, he was there for another 40 days in the whole story. And Yom Kippur, he comes down with another second set of tablets. And his face was shining, you know, the Michelangelo's pictures with the horns. It was not horns, there was shining face. That's what it was. To such a level that his brother Aaron was afraid to get close to him. Then some commentaries want to say that this was the reward for the matchmaking. God rewarded him. He gave him this Shekhinah, God's presence to shine over his face. But others say that this is not a reward for the matchmaking. This is a reward for his self-sacrifice. You know, when God wanted to destroy the Jewish people by the golden calf, Moses came to God and told him, listen, Mr. God, if you forgive the Jewish people, it's fine. And if not, erase me from your book. I'm not going to be, because God offered to Moses, I'll destroy the Jewish people and start from your new nation.
Yep.
Moses said, no. I'm not going to be a cause for the destruction. Destroy me with them. If they are going, I'm gone. His ultimatum made it that God didn't do it.
Right.
That for his being ready to die for the Jewish people, because of this, he got the radiance on his face. That's not the reward for making the match. But there is another explanation. And God told them to bring a second set of tablets. You know, the first set of tablets, God provided the stones and the writing on the stone. The second time God told them, you know, Moses, you broke the first tablets too fast. If you would walk on it, you wouldn't walk it so, break it so fast. This time you go dig in your own backyard, find there is, you dig deep enough, you find the sapphire stone, and you'll chop the stones, wrap them up on the mountain, and I will do the writing. But you are bringing the stones.
Yep.
And the Talmud says that from the chips that was left over around the stones, from this Moses became rich. And this commentary says this was the payment for the shilach. The chips, the leftover of the sapphire stone was a nice payment for the shilach between God and the Jewish people. And that's how God paid them. But in any case, if it was the shining face, the radiance on his face, if it was the chips, the money, what he got from the sapphire stone, both cases, it was after the second, by the second tablet. Mm-hmm. See, the first tablet, it almost, the shidduch fell apart. The marriage almost fell apart. God, right. Moses brought the tablet, it was over. The second tablet was when the marriage really survived. Mm-hmm. And from the Torah, we see that when they paid only later. But today, this argument will not fly. If you want to marry off your child, you better pay and don't quetch about it. But I'll tell you, everyone who makes a shidduch, you ever made, you know, many people made matches between couples. They introduced two people. If you make a shidduch, Hashem pays you, God pays you financially and spiritually. All your faces, you'll get money, you'll do better in business, and also you will have a shining face and you get the blessing of God in everything that you do. But there is even more than that. Moses' job is not over. We still, our job is continuing to introduce a Jew to God, to connect a Jew to God. Every generation, every person, we are still busy with making matches between God and the Jewish people, introducing each to each other. You meet a Jew that knows less than, everyone knows something that another Jew does know. You know a mitzvah that the other person doesn't know, and you influence him to do it. You buy him a mezuzah and he puts it on the door. You influence a woman to light candles, whatever it is. You make the matching, God will pay you financially with the chip, with the sapphire stone, and spiritually with the radiance of God. It's a double payment. It's a spiritual payment and a physical and a financial payment. And then you become the matchmaker of God. It's not a bad job.